Just wanted to take you all in. It really is such a pleasure and a privilege to be able to be up here in front of you and to share a little of what matters to me with you this Sunday morning. So thank you. Thank you for being here. My topic today is lighting the torch of the soul. And this comes from work that I did during the decade of the aughts, from about 2002 until 2008 or 9. And I think David asked me to come and talk about this today because when I started talking about it in his presence, I lit up. And he could see, you know, that this is something that really radiates from the core of who I am and what has importance and significance for me. So here I am to share it. And this afternoon, if you can make it, we'll have a workshop that will teach you and enable you, really, to take what we talk about today and ground it, make it real. So lighting the torch is about bringing what we call the heart's core, bringing it out into the open, and then making it the very centerpiece of who we are and how we live our lives going forward. Too often we take what is most precious to us and push it to a back burner. It gets buried under all the stuff of daily living. Busy, 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 busy. Busy thoughts, busy feelings, stuff to do. And then one day we turn around and the thing that we had yearned for and longed to fulfill the most is still hiding in the closet somewhere. So my work was to help people bring that precious gift of spirit, which is our own unique way of being alive, and to make it the center of a life plan so that we could live what matters most, not end up in regret. Okay? Last week, David talked about pet peeves and how we get off track with our emotions, anger, fear, righteous indignation. I'd rather be right than connected. You know, you can't be in love and judgment at the same time, right? It doesn't work. So what brings us back? What brings us home? I love that song that, you know, there's no mistakes. We didn't talk ahead of time. But what brings us home? What brings us back to our own deepest truth and empowers us to bring it forward and live from that place? Well, as I was preparing this talk, as usually tends to happen, a refrain, a chant that we used to sing in my church came through. And I like you too much to sing it for you. But I'll tell you the words. And the words are, I am open and willing to allow the Christ to express in me, through me, as me. I'm sure some of you have heard this before. But that seemed to kind of focus where I wanted to go this morning. When I first came to Unity 30 years ago, one of the great revelations was how Unity views the Christ. Up till that point in my Christian upbringing, you know, I thought there was one Christ, and it was Jesus. But in Unity, they've taken that a step farther and recognized that the Christ is a state of being. It's a state of consciousness in which we all participate, either knowingly or not. It is a part of who and what we are, and Part of our work here as people on a spiritual journey is to awaken to that Christ consciousness in ourselves and in others and to manifest it in our lives. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So, easy for me to say, not so easy to do. How do we then bring ourselves into a place where we are open and willing to allow the Christ to express through us? First of all, I want to just mention what I think of when I say the Christ. And remember, Jesus told his disciples, whatever I do, you will do, and more. So even he was pointing the way. To me, the Christ is that state of being where you truly come home into the moment, where past and future fall away, where you step out of your story. And we all have a story, don't we? About who we are and what our life is all about and what's happening in the world and where it's all going and where it's all been. But the story is exhausting. So when we become still, come home, we step out of the story into that wonderful space that's empty, clear, still. And in that moment, and it is in that moment, what I experience is that my heart knows no boundaries or limits. It encompasses all that is. And in that moment, I experience the warmth of love that permeates all things. I feel it. I know it's with me. With every breath, every heartbeat, I'm not always with it. In fact, most of the time I'm not. But it's always with me. I know that I'm accompanied continuously throughout my life. There's never a moment when I'm not. And that accompaniment is a loving presence. I experience in that moment a sense of integrity, of authenticity, of wholeness, of completeness. Nothing's missing. Nothing needs to be fixed or changed or rearranged. I don't need anything that's more or better or different. It's all good. And I experience the lightness of being, the elation that comes with that sense of fulfillment. The gratitude that lifts my heart. And finally, I'm at peace. So, I have to shift my notes here. Give me a moment. What do we do in order to make that shift? It's almost like we live on time's arrow. You know, we're traveling from the past into the future in a horizontal universe in one dimension. And we get so caught up in our trajectory that we forget that there's another whole dimension crossing it at every point, the vertical dimension. And when we can step into that vertical dimension, everything opens up. And it's there at every point, every moment along the way. So how do we make the shift? Well, let's go back. I am open and willing to allow the Christ. Well, first we need to get open. That means we have to stop. We have to stop and make a conscious choice to shift from time zero into that vertical dimension that surrounds us. How do we do it? Meditation, prayer, contemplation. When I was in Turkey, every mosque has a large fountain at the entry. And the devout stop at the fountain and wash before they enter into the sacred space. They wash their eyes, their nose, their mouth, their ears, their head, their hands, and their feet. And they leave their shoes in the foyer so they don't track the world into their holy space. They cleanse themselves of all of their attachments to outer life before entering in to the immanent space within. So whatever your practice, we need usually something to kind of help us make the transition. First, we have to choose to go there, to go home, to hear the call, and then secondly, have a way of getting ourselves there, whatever works for you. Then secondly, what I found is important is having come into that empty space to experience the appreciation for how blessed I already am, how richly full my life has been. And believe me, I have had many agonizing experiences just like everybody else here, and I wouldn't trade a single one of them. I wouldn't go back and change a thing because it's my life and it has brought me to this moment and it's good. So I take a moment to appreciate the abundance that is already mine, the abundance of life. And then I get quiet and listen. So we open by becoming present. We become willing as we appreciate all that we've been given already. That makes us open and receptive because we know it's good. And then now I'm willing. I'm willing to listen to that still small voice and to discover how I can allow the Christ to express in me. Then the next step, one they don't talk about very much, we need an ally. If we're actually going to make this real in our daily life, we need an ally. We need someone to help us know when we stop ourselves, to see our own blind spots. A friend who will say, "Hello, what are you doing? Have you forgotten? Come back," because we all drift away. It's inevitable. So we need each other. I think one of the great deceptions is this idea that the spiritual journey is somehow, you know, a solo journey where you're busy lifting yourself by your own bootstraps. It's not a solo journey. It's one where we need each other and we help each other, and together we move to where we need to be. Does that make sense to you? And finally, we need a plan. We need a strategy. We need steps to follow to make sure that we don't drift too far off course or forget again what really matters the most and what we've committed ourselves to do. The plan may change, it will change. But we need something concrete to follow, to keep us on course, keep us on the path. This was my work. And I worked with literally hundreds of people and saw lives change dramatically. Powerful stuff. And the people I was working with would then go and do this same process with the people they were working with. And so the ripples went out. So how do we know when that Christ consciousness is present? Well, I know how I recognize it. It's when people light up. When all of a sudden they just, it's like somebody turned a beacon on inside of them. I feel it when I light up. All of a sudden I'm energetic, I'm excited, I'm enthusiastic. In Theos, It's Greek for God-filled. When we become enthusiastic, we're filled with God. So that's how we know when the Christ consciousness is being manifested, is because we light up. So I want to tell a couple of stories. First one is my husband. When we moved to California in 79, this was, a few months after we moved, and we were living in Lafayette. We had just put together mine, yours, and ours. So we had a pretty chaotic household. And one day we were sitting on the couch in the living room, and he's at one end of the couch and I'm at the other, and he's all lit up. And he's so excited because he has this vision of what he wants to do. And he wants to open a body shop, and he wants to build custom cars and hot rods and restore old cars and be in car shows. And, you know, he's just so excited. And I'm sitting at the other end of the couch, and I go, we've got four kids here. We got no money. You don't know how to do body work. You know, and I had a lot more. That was just the part I started. All very real world, practical, you know, important stuff. So what do you think happened to him while I'm helping him with my insight? Yes. The light went out. The air went out of his body. Pretty soon he slumped into a corner of the couch. I mean, how could he argue with what I was saying? But luckily for me, I noticed it this time that that's what was happening. It was so obvious, I couldn't miss it. And so I stopped myself. And I said, you know, what I'm doing to you right now is what I do to myself, on my dreams. I don't want to do it to you. I don't want to do it to me. I don't want to do it to our kids. I don't know how this could possibly happen for you, but I will do whatever I can to support you in making it a reality without knowing in this moment what any of that would be. And the next time I tell you why something won't work, you just tell me to shut up and keep telling me until I do. And do you know, a month later, he opened his body shop on Monument Boulevard with a car show, girls, trophies, show and shine. And he went on to build show cars and restore old cars. He built Cobras, custom Cobras. You know, he lived his dream. Strangely enough, one of the heirs to the 3M fortune became his partner. How does that happen? You know. So, that was what got me started. Another one. When I was working with financial planners, the head of the Financial Planning Association had, or he'd been the head, like David, it's been the head of International Unity. And he'd been gone for 3 years, basically, traveling the world, promoting the association, you know, doing that thing, and had neglected his business, had just now come back into his life. He was 50, his wife was 40. They were talking about if they were ever going to have a child, it was now or never. And he was working with his planner, and I was observing them. And I heard him tell a story about how he and his wife, one of their bonds with each other was through horses. They had both loved horses. They had horses and had them boarded. And one night they had found themselves late at night in the corral in the dark of the moon, so they couldn't even see their hand in front of their face. They were in the corral with 30 horses, but they knew every horse just by its presence. And that's that moment of communion for them with each other and with the horses became the heart's core of their marriage, of their relationship. But while he'd been traveling, there hadn't been any time for horses, and in fact, they hardly saw them anymore. They were thinking maybe it was time to sell the horses. And in the course of talking, he was saying, well, maybe in 5 years, you know, I can buy a place outside of Dallas, but everything's so expensive, and, you know, maybe in 5 years we can have horses. And I just interrupted. I said, 5 months, you have 5 months, no 5 years. It was clear to me that this was so essential to their life together, to his heart's core. He couldn't wait 5 years. And of course, he started coming up with the 5,000 good reasons why it wouldn't work, but I already knew about Dream Aside. I'd already done that with my husband. So I cut him off and said, you don't have to know how, just know what. 2 weeks later, I talked to him. They had just put a deposit down on a place they accidentally found outside, 45 minutes from work, 200 acres, big pond, 3-bedroom house, and a corral for the horses. And his wife was pregnant. 5 months later, they moved in. And his little girl's first word was cow. And they're living there happily ever after, as near as I can tell. And just one more. So it's not just about your job. It could be about your home and family. It could be about your relationships. The heart's core changes as we go through life, what it's calling us to be. Last Sunday, I was in the patio. Somebody came up to me, someone I'm very fond of, and started telling me a story about what had happened earlier that day. Now, this person has been estranged from family for about a dozen years. But that particular morning had made contact with the mom, and they had ended up having a 2-hour conversation. And in the course of that conversation, they were discussing an older sister with whom there had been a complete break, lots of hostility, no communication. And as they're talking about this broken relationship, the phone rings. Well, you know, of course, it's the sister. So this person picks up the phone. Well, the mom says, oh, it's... And he's, give me the phone. So this person picks up the phone and without any preamble, just starts telling the sister all the things that are wonderful about her. How much pleasure and enjoyment, how funny, how bright, how what a light she had been. Nothing about all the stuff, just pure appreciation. And then gave the phone back. Not waiting, you know, to see if it came back. It was just sharing. And in telling me this story, you know, being so lit up inside because this moment had happened. Because there had been so much growth inside this person that that moment was even possible. And standing there, I could feel the Christ presence between us. It was just radiating. I mean, I had tears coming down my cheeks. It was so powerful and so moving. It was about healing the family, healing relationships. That was the call home. So, time for me to stop. But just know that how we manifest the Christ, that Christ consciousness within us, it changes over time. We need to keep returning and listening and following. Being open and willing to allow the Christ to express in me, through me, as me. And our musicians, magical as they are, actually in the break between services, figured out how to let us sing it a few times so we can all affirm it together, but singing from the heart. Okay?